الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى أن عبد الله بن عباس أن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه قال لما قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه فقال المشركون إنه يقدم عليكم وفد وهنهم حمى يثرب فأمرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يرملوا الأشواط الثلاثة وأن يمشوا ما بين الركنين ولم يمنعهم أن يرملوا الأشواط كلها إلا الإبقاء عليهم ولم يمنعهم أن يرملوا الأشواط كلها إلا الإبقاء عليهم. So the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. He says that whenever the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he arrived, him and his companions رضي الله عنهم, he arrived, meaning arrived to the house of Allah عز وجل in the time for making the Umrah, and the time for making the Umrah, and this is in the seventh year of the Hijrah. And we know that we have seen in the previous classes that in the sixth year of the Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he left out with his companions to make Umrah, but he was stopped in Hudaybiyah, and he was prevented from that. And so therefore they came out of their ihram, and they returned with the agreement to return the next year. So this Umrah here is known as Umratu al-Qadiyah, also known as Umratu al-Qada. But what is intended is al-Qadiyah, yani the Umrah of the event that occurred whenever they were blocked and stopped. Yani that's coming after that, not meaning that it is to be made up. And the Umrah, if a person, he makes al-Ihsar, he's prohibited, and he comes out with a reason, is he will not make it up. But this is known to the people of knowledge as Umratu al-Qadiyah. Umratu al-Qadha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's coming to make Umrah. This is in the seventh year. This is the seventh year of the Hijrah. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, he's mentioning that whenever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, they arrived, فَقَالَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, the pagans, any of those pagans from Quraysh, from the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're all gathered around the Kaaba. And it's mentioned that they were ala jabali Qu'aiqiyan, which is the Jabul, which is the mountain that al-Marwa is the base of. The base of this mountain is Marwa, and then it proceeds and goes up, and this was the mountain that was there. And it's mentioned that Quraysh, they're around this mountain here, and they're watching the Muslims as they're coming. And they have an agreement that they can come and make Umrah at this time. But the pagans, they're watching them, and they have great hatred and animosity towards them likewise. So whenever they come, the pagans, they say, إِنُّهُ يَقْدَمُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَفْدٌ وَهَنَهُمْ هُمَّ يَثْرِبَ, that indeed there's a delegation, a group of people who are coming to you, and they have been weakened. They have been weakened by the fever of Yathrib. By the fever of Yathrib. Yathrib is the name of Al-Madinah before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated. Before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated, then Al-Madinah, it was called Yathrib. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after migrating there, he said, يَقُولُونَ يَثْرِبُ وَهِيَ الْمَدِينَةِ, يَقُولُونَ يَثْرِبُ وَهِيَ الْمَدِينَةِ, they say that it's Yathrib, but it is Al-Madinah. It is Al-Madinah. So this is the proper name to call it now, after the migration, and after that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had clarified, that it's called Al-Madinah, وَطَيِّبَ وَطَيِّبَ, that this is the good land, the land of Al-Madinah. And it's not allowed to call it Yathrib now, yani in this manner as a name. And likewise, before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was well known in Al-Madinah in those days that there was a great fever, and that the people in Al-Madinah, they were tried by this great humma, and this is something that remained with them. And the people that would come there likewise, they would be afflicted by a strong fever that was well known and widespread. It was well known and widespread that the people of Al-Madinah, they were affected by this, and they would be experiencing great hardship from this from time to time, and it would come, and the likes, and anyone who came there likewise would experience that. So this is what the mushrikun, they're saying. They're saying these people are coming to you now, And he's speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his companions. Called wahanat, wahanatum al-humma. Here it says wahanahum al-humma. Awhanatum al-humma. Yani that the humma adhafatum, that the fever had weakened them. And he meaning that they had been sick, and this is what they claimed. And this is what they claimed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he realized that this is what they were saying. And they were saying this out of animosity and hatred and embelittlement. And in belittlement, look at these people here. These people coming, they're coming, approaching you. Here they are all weak. These individuals, they're weak and they're not strong. Meaning that they're pathetic and they've been affected by this great fever. And here they come from this long distance. So no doubt they're going to be tired and weak and overcome with exhaustion. And this is their claim and what they're mentioning. فَأَمَرَهُمَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَرْمُلُوا الْأَشْوَاطَ الثَّلَاثَ وَيَمْشُوا مَا بَيْنَ الرُّكْنَيْنِ وَلَمْ يَمْنَعْهُمْ أَنْ يَرْمُلُوا الْأَشْوَاطَ كُلَّهَا إِلَّا الْإِبْقَاءُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered them to make the ramul. He ordered them to make the ramul for the first three laps going around the Kaaba, and to walk between the two corners, meaning the Yemeni corner and the corner with the black stone. And nothing prohibited them from making the ramul around the Kaaba and all of the laps, except for the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to be kind to them and nice to them, and to make it easy for them and facilitate it for them, and to not put them in great hardship and difficulty. So this is about the description of making the tawaf. And from that, on the tawaf al-qudum specifically, there's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make the ramal. Ar-ramal, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, it is al-isra' fil-mashi, ma'a takharub al-quta, wa haz al-manakib, that a person who's making the ramal, ramala yarmulu, ramlan, that a person, he will walk quickly, but his footsteps will be close together, and he's moving his shoulders. And the one who's moving in this manner, he's moving quickly, he's not running. He's not running, but yet he's moving. He's walking in a fast pace, along with his footsteps being close together and his shoulders moving. And his shoulders moving, sort of like, kind of like a type of march that one will see the military doing in the likes like this. And this is a display. This is a display of strength. This is a display of strength and power. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he heard that they were belittling them and claiming that they were weak. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wanted to show them contrary. And he wanted to silence them, and likewise to put the fear in their hearts, and also to clarify that they're not weak, rather they came strong. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered the companions to make the ramal the first three laps, yani around the Kaaba. So the mushrikun, they're on the opposite side. On the opposite side of the black of the black stone in the Yemeni corner. So whenever the believers there on the other side of the Kaaba, where the mushrikun can see them, this is whenever they would make the ramun. But whenever they came behind the other side on the Yemeni corner, between the Yemeni corner and the black stone, now they're not able to see them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to walk now. So the whole point of the ramun here is to show to the disbelievers that the Muslims, they have strength, and that they're not weak, that they're ready at any moment, and that they are engaged in worship with great devotion, and they're not doing it in a lazy manner. So whenever they can see them, they're ordered to make the ramal, yani to hasten in this manner, marching with their feet, their footsteps close together, and a quick pace, along with their shoulders moving side to side. This is called the ramal, and this is why it was legislated. And this is why it was legislated here, and it's mentioned here that the only reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't order them to make the ramal all of the seven laps and going around entirely is in order to keep their strength, and to not wear them out entirely. Yani as mercy and kindness, yani so that yani the point would be obtained. So here in this narration, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam achieved two affairs, yani in this manner, by making the ramal, yani on only the first three laps, and likewise on only in the portion of the Kaaba, or only around the portion of the Kaaba where they can be seen by the disbelievers. In this manner, they were able to to refute the disbelievers, يعني إغاثة العدو, يعني to put the fury in their hearts, and so that they would be refuted, and that they would have found contrary, and likewise so that they will be afraid. They'll be afraid, and they'll know that the believers, they're strong, and that they're ready, and that they're devoted in their actions of worship, and the likes like this. And likewise, as well, in this manner, they also had the ability to find relaxation and ease. And they were not any, they were not ordered to do this all seven laps, nor were they to do that the whole first three laps, rather only in the portion of those first three laps whenever they're able to be seen. So still, they were able to relax and catch their breath and to not use up all their energy and be exhausted in this. So they displayed the strength of faith and the strength of al-Islam and their devotion and their sincerity, which made the disbelievers furious, contrary to what they thought, contrary to what they were claiming. So even some of them, they said, هَوَلَاءِ الَّذِينَ تَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ وَأَوْهَنَتْهُمْ أَلْهُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ أَجْلَرُ مِنْ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Some, even after they'd seen this, some of them were saying that, oh, these are the ones you're claiming that the fever had weakened them. Oh man, they're stronger than this and that. And they're serious. أَجْلَرُ مِنْ كَذَا وَكَذَا. And he's saying that they're very strong. Rather, the fever did not harm them or even bother them whatsoever. So at this time, they were disgraced. And this is something that is legislated likewise to put fear in the enemies of the believers and to show strength and to not show cowardice and to be firm and to be steadfast and to be upright and to be obedient and to be devoted to Allah with sincerity and to show strength in that. And to show strength in that, so that the enemies, they will see that the believers are steadfast and firm, and they will not even think about trying to mislead them or to approach them or to harm them in any manner. Rather, they are showing strength in their religion and strength in their faith and strength in their deen, and likewise readiness at any moment. So this is something that is legislated. This is something that is likewise legislated. So this is the case here, the first three laps. The first three lamps, they were ordered to make the ramal. And again, the ramal, this is whenever a person, he will move quickly, and he will move quickly, he will hasten without running. He will hasten without running, and his footsteps will be close together, along with moving his shoulders from side to side. This is called the ramal. And they were ordered to do that here in the first three lamps. But only from the black stone to the Yemeni corner. From the black stone to the Yemeni corner. As from the Yemeni corner to the black stone, they would walk at this time, because at this time the pagans, they were not able to see them. So this was in the seventh year in Umratul Qadha or Umratul Qadhiya, but it has come later likewise in Hajjatul Wada, then also in the Tawaf al-Qudum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made the ramal again. And he made it for the first three laps, but he made it from the black stone to the black stone. He made it from the black stone to the black stone. So he continued the sunnah even after the reason was gone. He continued the sunnah even after the reason was gone, rather completing it. So in this time, in the seventh year here, the reason why they're making the ramal and the reason why they're moving in this manner is to display strength. And also courage and readiness and also devotion and sincerity in their worship. This is the only reason they did this, because of what the mushrikun were saying about them, just trying to belittle them and talk bad about them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed them contrary. And likewise, this was achieved by making that ramal the first three laps only, in order to make it easy on them. And also only from the black stone to the Yemeni stone. So therefore, it was not even a full lap. It was not even a full lap at this time, whenever it was first legislated for that particular reason. But after that, in Hajjatul Wada', which is in the 10th year of the Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he again, whatever he made, Tawaf al-Qudum, when he first entered Mecca, coming to make Hajj, he made the Tawaf sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he made the Ramal. And he made it for the first three laps, but it's been mentioned that he made it from the black stone to the black stone. So this time there's no walking. So it's been narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that he mentioned about this. That he said, Ramala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ramala رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الحجر إلى الحجر ثلاثا ومشى أربعة ومشى أربعة. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made the ramal, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made the ramal from the hajr to the hajr, from the black stone to the black stone, three times, yani three laps, and then he walked four laps, This is in Sahih Muslim. And likewise from the hadith of Jabir as well, رضي الله عنه, he says, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رمل من الحجر الأسود حتى انتهى إليه ثلاثة أطواف. That I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making the ramal, yani in Hajjatul Wada. In Hajjatul Wada, I saw him making the ramal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the black stone all the way till he got back to the black stone. Three laps around the Kaaba. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the ramal now is legislated in this manner from the black stone to the black stone. Even though the reason for the legislation is gone. To put fear and fear in the hearts of the enemies, this reason is gone. Now the believers are making tawaf around the Kaaba, and those pagans they do not exist. It's nothing but Muslims, alhamdulillah. So the reason for the legislation of that is gone, but the legislation remains and it stands in order to remember this affair. And to remember the hardship and the difficulty that the believers they went through previously in order to establish the religion. Even before that, the sunnah remains, following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah here remains of the raman, these first three laps for the tawaf al-qudum. It remains, following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he also continued to do that in Hajjatul Wada'. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said in this great rite, لِتَأْخُذُ عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ لِتَأْخُذُ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, that you must take from me your sacred rites. So this is from those sacred rites, and this remains. But also from the wisdom behind that, the people of knowledge, they mention as a tathkir, to remember those who are coming now, and they come to the house of Allah and they do the sacred rite and they move in this manner, they will remember. They remember why it was legislated and the hardships and the difficulties that the previous believers they went through, and to establish the religion until that it has reached us in this manner, to remember the efforts that they have made and the likes like this, and also to realize the great blessing that we have today of safety and security, and that there are no pagans nor mushrikun, and there's no disbelievers around the house of Allah whatsoever blocking or stopping anyone or belittling anyone. Rather they're all Muslims. So this is from the wisdom of that. And in reality, many of the rites of al-Hajj are legislated in remembrance of the events and the lives of the previous prophets and messengers. And in the issue of Hajj, many of those rites are legislated in remembrance of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and likewise of his wife Hajar, Ismail. Alayhim salam. So these affairs, they're legislated in this manner. A person, he will cast the stone at the Jamarat, remembering the affair that happened with Ibrahim alayhi salam and the devil, trying to coerce him whenever he has seen it in his dream that he is ordered to slaughter his son in this manner like this, and it was a great trial. So one will do this and following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remembering this great prophet and the events that occurred with him and the test that he was tried with and how he succeeded by the grace of Allah azza wa jal. Likewise, whenever a person is making the sa'i and he's running back and forth from Safa wal Marwa, you remember the mother of Ismail alayhi salam. You remember the mother of Ismail alayhi salam, and he remembered that event that occurred and how they were left there. And the likes like this, and she was scrambling looking for any type of provision for her child, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for them and sustained them and raised them, and it was a great blessing for them, and the likes like this. So many of these rites here, they're legislated in remembrance, even the slaughtering of the udhi and the likes like this in place of the slaughtering of Ismail alayhi salam. All of this is to remember those great prophets, to remember them and their devotion and their worship and their way, and to recall these affairs that the Muslims, they are people who follow
They follow prophets and messengers. And their role models are prophets and messengers. And there are great lessons of wisdom and benefit, and spiritual benefit, and likewise worldly benefit in the stories of the prophets and the events that occurred with them previously, and especially in the life of the greatest and the best and the seal of all prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, you know, this is from the wisdom of the remaining of this particular rite, that one he will make the Ramadan. But it is a sunnah. It's a sunnah, and it's not an obligation. It's not a pillar nor an obligation. It's a sunnah. It's something that's recommended. If a person is able to perform it, he will perform it. But the point to make now is that this ramal is only performed in one type of tawaf, and that is called tawaf al-qudum. Tawaf al-qudum is the tawaf of the umrah, and the tawaf of the hajj whenever he first comes to Mecca. So the one who's making umrah, the tawaf al-qudum, this is like the tahiyyah for the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The first thing a person will do whenever he's coming to the house of Allah in the state of ihram is he'll make tawaf. So if he has the ihram for umrah, he will make tawaf al-umrah. So tawaf al-umrah will take the place of tawaf al-qudum. So he will do the same thing. So the tawaf al-qudum for the mu'tamar, the one making umrah, is the tawaf of umrah. So therefore, it's legislated for him to do in the tawaf of umrah what it's legislated to do in tawaf al-qudum. He'll do the same thing. He'll make the ramal. He'll make the ramal in the first three laps around the Kaaba. One lap is called a shawt or a tawfa. The plural of the shawt is ashwat, and they call them laps. One lap around the Kaaba or tawfa, or they call it likewise al-tawaf. In the Arabic language. So whenever when he comes for making Umrah, the first three laps that he makes around the Kaaba in his tawaf for the Umrah, he will make the Ramal if he's able to. Or the one who's coming for Hajj. He's coming, he made the Ihram for Hajj, and he's entering Mecca. He's coming from the Miqat in the state of Ihram for Hajj, and he's entering Mecca. Then he will also make tawaf al-qudum. The tawaf al-qudum for his in his rite is sunnah. Is a sunnah. It's not from the rites of hajj. The one who's making hajj, he only has one tawaf. He has one tawaf. That is the rukn, tawaf al-ifada. Tawaf al-ifada. So he will make, whenever he comes and enters Mecca, then he will make tawaf al-qudum. So it's legislated for him likewise at this time to make the ramal, So the ramal again is to whenever a person he starts the tawaf, he will begin with a moderate paced run. He's walking quickly, but he's keeping his feet and he's keeping his footsteps close together, moving quickly, walking quickly with his feet, with his footsteps close together, moving his shoulders. In this manner, he will perform the ramal. This is for the one who's making umrah and the one who's making hajj whenever he first comes. So it's called tawaf al-qudum or tawaf al-umrah for the one making umrah. This is the one. As for tawaf al-ifada or tawaf al-wada', there's no ramal. There's no ramal here. Tawaf al-ifada, which is the rukn, which is the pillar from the pillars of hajj, and likewise tawaf al-wada', which is the wajib from the wajibat al-hajj, there's no ramal here. There's no ramal here. And likewise, also, yani, along with this is the issue of al-tiba' and yattabi'. And yattabi', this means that one, he will take the rida' and he will put the rida' under his right armpit. And he will throw the ends over his left shoulder, exposing his right shoulder. This is called al-tiba'. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tafa mutabi'an. في رداء أخضر. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the tawaf muttabi'an, yani in this manner with the green rida on. This has been narrated from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this likewise is in tawaf al-qudum only. The only time the person making the rites of hajj or umrah will make the ittiba' is whenever he's making tawaf al-qudum. As for other than that, the rida will be over both of his shoulders. And this is something that we see many people doing foolishly or ignorantly, having no knowledge. And they will begin from the very beginning, putting the whenever they enter into the state of ihram, they'll put on the rida, which is the garment that goes on the top of the body. You'll find them putting it over their left shoulder and wrapping it under their right arm and exposing their right shoulder the whole time. The whole time through their rights. They're going here and going there, and the whole time their right shoulder is exposed, and the likes like this, and their left shoulder is covered. And this is contrary to the sunnah. And this is not the proper way. And this is also going to extremes and putting a person in hardship. Maybe he will be moving through the sun and his shoulder will become sunburned or burnt and the likes like this. And he will blister, so on and so forth. Then there's no need for it. Rather, it's in contradiction. The sunnah with regards to the rida and wearing the rida while in the state of ihram is that it's on both shoulders the whole time. Except when making the tawaf al-qudum. Except when making tawaf al-qudum. So that means the person who's making the ihram for umrah, for example, and he's coming to Mecca. Whenever he enters into the state of ihram, he has the izar on, and he has the rida on over both of his shoulders. He'll put the rida over both of his shoulders, and the ends will fall in front of him, covering his chest. And it will remain like this. He's making the talbiyah all the way till he gets to the house of Allah. Whenever he gets to the house of Allah and he begins to make his tawaf, now he will take the rida and put the end of it underneath his armpit, on the right, underneath his right armpit, and the other end over the top of his left shoulder, exposing his right shoulder, and he'll make tawaf. He'll make tawaf. And then whenever he begins the tawaf likewise, he will begin the first three laps with the ramal. With the ramal. After he makes the third lap, he stops the ramal. And he keeps the itiba'. The ramal is for three laps, and putting the and exposing the right shoulder is for all seven laps. For all seven laps. So whenever he finishes the seventh lap, at this time he'll put it back on his shoulder. He'll put it back on his shoulder, and then he will go behind Maqam Ibrahim and he'll pray two rak'ah. This is likewise from the sunnah. This is likewise from the sunnah. So the point to mention now is about the ramal, and it's in the tawaf al-qudum. And the tawaf al-qudum is for the hajj. And also it's the same ruling for the tawaf al-umrah. And because the first thing a person does whenever he comes to Mecca is in a state of ihram, he makes tawaf. So the one who's making an umrah, that tawaf counts for his rights. The one who's making hajj, he has his tawaf that's for the rights that he has to make is going to come and in the after the days of hajj come, and in the time, and on the day of Eid, on the day of Eid. So he will come early, and he will come early to make hajj, getting ready to go to Mina. So whenever he comes, he will come to the house of Allah and then go to Mina. So whenever he comes to the house of Allah, the first thing he will do is give the ta'iyah to the house of Allah, which is tawaf al-qudum. So the one who's making hajj now, this is what he'll perform. So he'll make the ramal and he'll make the itiba' now. As for after that, in any other tawaf, there's no ramal and there's no itiba', and there's no itiba' anywhere else in the rites of hajj. You'll find, if you go, you'll find many people in umrah, many people in hajj, they have their shoulder showing the whole time. The whole time, from the beginning to the end. And this is not legislated, it's not the sunnah, rather it's contrary. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to cover both shoulders. It's to cover both shoulders, and it's easier and it's better. It's easier and it's better and it's safer and it has more protection. And for the shoulders, because the sun is very bright, it's very hot, and the lights like this, and it can burn a person easily. And there's no need for that. Rather, it's contrary. Rather, it is contrary. So the people of knowledge, likewise, they have mentioned that this ramal here, and also, of course, the itiba', because this is for women. This is for men only. The ramal is for the men only, and likewise, the harwala. The ramal is this, it's not running. It's not running as has preceded. Then there's after that another faster pace, closer to running, like jogging. It's called harwala or sa'i. A sa'i. And this is what one he will do and whenever he's making the sa'i. You harwil. Yani yes'a. He'll run. He will hasten between those two points that have green lights now. Yani in remembrance and following the sunnah of Hajar alayhi salam with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So at this time, he will make the harwala, and he will run quickly. He'll be jogging and running quickly on the sa'i. As for the tawaf, he's making the ramal, it's not quick. It's not quick. These two issues here of the ramal and the harwala or the sa'i, this is legislated only for the men. And there's a consensus about this. The women are not included. It's not from the sunnah for the women to do this. It's not for this. It's not from the sunnah for the women to do this. And the like is to run around in front of the people, going back and forth, or to make the ramah in front of the people. Rather, this is legislated for the men only. And the people of Najd, they have a consensus with regards to this. Ibn Abdul Bar, he mentioned that, rahimahullah ta'ala. Even the people of Najd, they mentioned if a person was with women and he's afraid that if he got separated from them, they may get lost or they may get harmed, and the likes like this, he will not make the ramal. He will not make the ramal. And whenever he goes to the sa'i, he will not run. Likewise, rather he will stay with his women. Rather he will stay with his women if he's afraid because of the crowd and the vast amount of people and the likes like this, or he's afraid for his women that they may get lost. So on and so forth, they'll become worried and they get separated and be difficult to link back up, so on and so forth, then he will just leave off the Ramadan, and he will not do that in order to stay in guardianship and protection of the women that he's with, because they will not run. Because they will not run. And you will find some women doing that, and this is contrary to the Sunnah, and it's also contrary to shyness and modesty, and contrary to the way of a true Muslimah. Rather, she will guard her chastity and her honor and reputation likewise. And from that is to guard her deen and to hold fast to the sunnah of her Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something that the Messenger did along with the companions, the males from them. The males from them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. And likewise, the people of Najd, as they mentioned, that this will be done as well if a person is able to. If there's too much if there's too much traffic and there's too many people and the crowd is too thick and it's too difficult, then one, he will leave it likewise. He will not harm the people in order to make the ramal. Just like he will not harm the people in order to touch the black stone. He will not harm the people, harm the believers in the house of Allah and these sacred rites in order to establish a sunnah. This is a sunnah. If he's able to do it, he will do it, alhamdulillah. And if he's not able to do it, there's no blame on him. Rather, if he were to do it and then to harm the people in the process, he would be considered a fool. And likewise, he's sinning. And likewise, he's sinning. Because a person who is going to think that he's going to worship Allah by harming the believers, he's going to do an action of worship that's considered recommended and not obligatory. And in order to do that, he has to harm the believers. This is something that is contrary to the legislation entirely. Contrary to the legislation entirely. Harming the believers, harming their hearts, harming their emotions, harming their bodies physically. All of this is haram and not allowed. Haram and not allowed. So a person, he will not harm the people and perform this great sin in order to establish a sunnah. In order to establish a sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Umar about this. He said, Ya Umar, innaka rajulun qawwi, fala tu'thi al-da'if. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ إِسْتِلَامَ الْحَجْرِ فَإِنْ خَلَى لَكَ فَاسْتَلِمْهُ وَإِلَّا فَاسْتَقْبِلْهُ وَكَبِّرْ. And this is with regards to touching the stone specifically. But likewise, we benefit from that with regards to making the ramal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umar, you're a strong man, so do not harm the weak people. Do not harm the weak people. You're a strong man, so do not harm the weak people. If you want to touch the stone, if the area becomes empty for you, then go touch it. And if there's too much, if it's crowded, then you just point to it from a distance. Then you just point to it from a distance. And so a person, he will not make the ramal and then harm the people, and then step on the people and run over the people. And the likes like this, and this is contrary. Many people, they misunderstand these affairs from the very foundation, and you find much chaos and hardship that's not necessary. But it's because of ignorance and misunderstanding. Wallahu al-musta'an. Wallahu al-musta'an. So if he can make the ramad, he will do that. And if he cannot, then he will not do that. And the people of Najd, as they mentioned, it's best to be close to the Kaaba, no doubt. Any the closer one is to the Kaaba while making tawaf, this is better, if it's possible. But if he's not able to be close to the Kaaba and make the ramad, but he's able to back away from the Kaaba and then still make the ramad, then this is better for him, those first three laps, so that he can perform the sunnah. And then if after making the ramal, he can get back closer to the Kaaba to make the tawaf, being close to the Kaaba in the tawaf is similar to being on the first row in the salah. The people of Najd, as they mentioned, and it's more virtuous. It's more virtuous. Being on the first row of salah is more virtuous than being on the last row, the second or the last row, any the second row and beyond. And likewise, being close to the Kaaba, making the tawaf is better and more virtuous in reward and the likes like this. Unless the person is going to harm others, so on and so forth. But making the ramal, takes precedence over that. Takes precedence over that. Because this is a virtue that the people of Najd have established by way of analogy. And as for the Ramadan, then this is a sunnah that's established by a clear text. A clear text. So if a person is not able to make the Ramadan, except by being a little further away from the Kaaba, then he would do that. Then he would do that. So this is something that's possible. Many times he'll just go to the outskirts of the mataf, of the area, a little away from the congested area, and he can do it easy. Although it's a bit longer because it's further away, or even now he can go onto the floors, which is even longer and longer, and do it, but he's more, although it's a longer distance around, it's easier and more facilitated. If a person, and he has family and the likes like this, or those who are weak, children along with him, or young girls or boys and the likes like this, and it's difficult for them to get in that great crowd, you can go up on the other level and go around on the lap that's on the second floor, the third floor. And although it's a bit further away, any meaning it's further away, so that means that the distance is longer and it may take longer, it will be easier for them. So this is all allowed and facilitated. This is all allowed and facilitated. The people of knowledge mentioned, likewise, if a person, he forgot to make the ramal. For example, he got to Mecca and he's making Tawaf Umrah. And then he made the first lap. And then in the second lap, he remembered, oh man, I didn't make the ramal. So now he makes the ramal for two laps. Should he make the third lap up on the fourth lap? Should he make up the first lap up on the fourth lap? And he on the second lap, he remembered, oh man, Allah musta'an, astaghfirullah, I forgot to make the ramal. So he starts to make the ramal, the second lap and the third lap. But you're supposed to do three, the first three laps. So would he do that? No, he would not make it up. The people of knowledge, they say, هذه سنة فات محلها. سنة فات محلها. This is a sunnah that the person, he missed the place for that. It's a sunnah that has a specific place, and that place is gone. He missed that opportunity, so therefore it's not made up. And even more clear, if a person, for example, he forgot in the beginning all three of them. And then he remembered after that. And then he wanted to do it after that. The same ruling. He would not do it. But this is even more severe because now he contradicted the sunnah from the beginning and the end. So he didn't bring the sunnah in the beginning, whether he's contrary to that. And in the end, he didn't bring the sunnah likewise, whether he's contrary to that. So in this case, it's even better for him to not make it up. That way, he only conflicted with the sunnah in the beginning and not in the end. As for if he were to make it up in the end, now his tawaf is completely in contradiction to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making tawaf from in the beginning of it and the end. The beginning is not in accordance to the sunnah, and the end is not in accordance to the sunnah. And so from here, the people of not, as they mentioned, you do not make it up. The ramal is not made up. It's a sunnah. If a person is able to do it in the right time, he will do it. And if he's not able to do it, he will not do it. But even if he made, for example, two, he made two and he forgot. On the third one he remembered, what would he do? He'll bring it. He'll bring what he remembered. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. He'll bring what he remembered. Or likewise, if he's going around, and for example, when he first gets there, it's very crowded. It's not possible. And then by, for example, the second time around or the third time around, all of a sudden it dies down. He finds a spot. He sees an opening. Now he can start making the ramal. He would do that whatever he's able. He would do whatever he's able, and whatever he's not able, he will leave it and not make it up. We understand that? This is with regards to the Ramadan. The author, he says, رحمه ta'ala, عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين يقدم مكة إذا استلم الركن الأسود أول ما يطوف يخب ثلاثة أشواط. So the author, he mentions now the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he says, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam حين يقدم مكة قديما يقدم من باب سمع قديما يقدم حين يقدم مكة, whenever he arrived to Mecca. Abdullah ibn Umar, he says radiallahu anhuma, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever he arrived to Mecca, إذا استلم الركن الأسود أول ما يطوف يخب ثلاثة أشواط. That whenever he arrived to Mecca, he would touch the black stone. And the first thing he would do whenever he made the tawaf sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would make the يخب ثلاثة أشواط. يعني يرمو. He would make the رمل. The خب يعني the رمل. He would make the رمل the first three أشواط. The first three laps. So here likewise, this is indication, the first three laps, yani all of them. And the evidence has come that this is what is intended. Yani now, when he will make the first three laps, all of them. من الهجر إلى الهجر من الهجر الأسود إلى الهجر الأسود. يعني he will make the lamps in entirety. So here we see likewise that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first thing he would do whenever he came, whenever he entered Mecca, he would make the tawaf. He would make the tawaf. So the first thing a person does whenever he comes in the state of ihram, when he comes to Mecca, what is recommended for him before he does anything else is to make tawaf. Make tawaf. If he's making umrah, he's making tawaf al umrah. If he's coming for hajj, he makes tawaf al qudum. So before he does anything else, the first thing he will do is make the tawaf. This is legislated for him and recommended. But the people of not, as they mentioned, if an individual, he was very tired. For example, he's traveling, and he's in ihram, and he's ready. But whenever he arrives to Mecca, he's exhausted. Maybe he's old, or maybe he's sick, or maybe he's just completely exhausted from the journey. Maybe he had a difficult time on the trip and the likes like this. And whenever he arrives to Mecca, he's completely exhausted. So in the right of this individual, it's preferred for him to get some rest briefly. Whatever he needs to get his energy back. That way he can make those rites with strength and with energy. And to be alert and to perform them in a good manner. And to perform them in a good manner as opposed to performing them lazily or hastening to perform them and get them over with because he's so tired and exhausted, he can't focus, he can't supplicate, he's just moving and trying to finish and the likes like this, he'll be forgetful and negligent, so on and so forth. So the likes of this person, is preferred for him to get some rest, and then that he will begin with the tawaf. Then he will begin with the tawaf. As for the one who comes and he's strong, and he's ready, and he has energy, as soon as he enters Mecca, the first thing he will do is to make the tawaf. And this is what is recommended. Also, we see here, حِينَ يَكْدَمُ مَكَّةً. So this is an indication that this is the first thing he would do, meaning in the tawaf al-qudum. Tawaf al-qudum. So he would not do this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the other tawaf, and tawaf al-ifadah, or tawaf al-wada'. He wouldn't do it. Only حِينَ يَكْدَمُ مَكَّةً. This is whenever the description of the ramul was performed. The action of the ramul was performed. Also, we see here that what is apparent from this narration is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam istalama ar-rukn al-aswad. He just touched it. He just touched it. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some details with regards to this will come bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. After this, the author he says, an Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma annahu qal طاف النبي sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi hajjati al-wada'. في حجة الوداع على بعير يستلم الركن بمحجن يستلم الركن بمحجن قال رحمه الله المحجن عصا محنية عصا محنية الرأس. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. He says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made a tawaf in the farewell pilgrimage while riding on a camel, and he touched the black stone with a mihjan. The mihjan is a cane that has a loop at the end. The mihjan is a cane, a walking cane, but it's the one that has a loop at the end, has a curve at the end. Asa mahniyatu ras, mahniya, yani it has ma'kus, it has a loop at the end. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hajjatul wada', he's making tawaf on a camel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's making tawaf on a camel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he come to the black stone, he had a cane in his hand with a loop on the end of it. He would touch the black stone with the cane, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's likewise come as some wordings, wa yuqabbiluhu. He would touch the black stone with the cane, and then he would kiss the cane, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, the reason why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is riding on an animal here, and what's the wisdom? There's wisdom behind that. And he has an excuse why he's making tawaf here on a riding animal, on a camel. And this is because he was afraid of the crowd and the congestion, and there's so many people, and he was afraid that the people would start pushing and the likes like this, in order to get to him, in order to see him, in order to hear him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore he rode on the camel in order for the people to see him, in order for all of the people to be able to see him, and likewise in order for them to hear him clearly, and also to be able to learn the rites from him, yani directly by watching him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Jabir, radiyallahu anhu. He says, طَافَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي حَجَّةِ الْوَدَعِ عَلَى رَحِيلَتِهِ بِالْبَيْتِ وَبِالصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَى لِيَرَاهُ النَّاسِ وَلِيُشْرِفَ وَلِيَسْأَلُهُ فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ غَشَوْهُ فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ غَشَوْهُ. So he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made the tawaf, and making the laps around the house of Allah azza wa jal in the farewell pilgrimage, while he's riding on his riding animal. And likewise between Safa and Marwa, both of them, he made the tawaf around the Kaaba on the riding animal, and he made the laps back and forth from Safa and Marwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the riding animal. He says, and this is in order for him to be elevated so that people can see him, and so that they will be able to ask him. And it's because the people, they started to crowd him. Yani, they started to crowd him. Likewise, in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he says, إِنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ كَثُرَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مُحَمَّدْ هَذَا مُحَمَّدْ حَتَى خَارَجَ الْعَوَاتِقْ مِنَ الْبُيُوتِ. And this is al-Hajj al-Wada, and 100,000 of people is mentioned that were making Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from all of the lands. So he's saying that this is a portion of a long narration. The people, yani the abundance of people, yani began to crowd around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them saying, "This is Muhammad. This is Muhammad." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is Muhammad, this is Muhammad. Even until the little girls and the virgins who would be hiding in their houses, they came out to look and see. Yani coming out of their houses to look and see what's happening. So he says, قَالَ وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَا يُضْرَبُ النَّاسُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يعني لا يُدْفَعُ. And he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people will not be pushed in his company, and in his presence. And his presence is not proper for the people to be pushing around left and right. So this is from the wisdom why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the riding animal. And in order for the people to not be crowding each other and pushing each other and shoving each other and the likes like this. This is not proper to happen in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the steps to prevent that is that he rode on the animal. So he was not on the animal in the beginning, but whenever the people began to crowd around him, and it became to be a great crowd at this time, and he's afraid for the people to start pushing one another, at this time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mounted the riding animal, and he, in order to perform these rites here. So he says, فَلَمَّا كَثُرَ عَلَيْهِ رَاكِبًا وَالْمَشْيُ وَالسَّعْيُ أَفْضَلْ. So Ibn Abbas, he says, radiallahu anhuma, that whenever the people crowded around him and the crowd became very thick and the people became abundant, then he rode on the animal. But to walk and to walk around the Kaaba and to run and on foot between the Safa and Marwa, this is better and more virtuous. This is better and more virtuous. So the people of Nahr, as I mentioned here, the issue of riding while making tawaf, and riding while making the sa'i. What is the ruling with regards to this? Because now we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had an excuse while he's riding. He's riding only for this purpose, because he's afraid of the people crowding and pushing each other. So he did not want the people to crowd and push. So therefore he's riding, so they will all be able to see them from where they're at. And they'll all be able to hear him. And if they need to, they can all ask him. And he's able to respond to them. And this is whenever the crowd became very deep. But Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, he mentions that to walk and to do the hastening, to walk around in the tawaf and to hasten yourself in the sa'i, this is better and more virtuous. So the people of Nahr, they differ about this. Some of them, they mentioned the one who made the tawaf without an excuse while he's riding on something, the tawaf is not correct. Others, they mentioned if he had an excuse, it's correct. And others mentioned it's correct whether he had an excuse or not. And so this is something that the people of Nahr, they differ about. And the differing here has each position has a strong point. So it's preferable and better and safer than if a person has no need to ride on anything while making the tawaf, and the sa'i, he will not ride. Rather, he will walk himself. But if there's a need to ride, it's allowed for him to ride. Like today, for example, they have wheelchairs, and even now they have carts. They have electric carts and the likes like this. that one can rent and ride, or maybe they're even free and the likes like this. So if a person is in need, for example, he's sick or he's old, he can ride in a wheelchair, or is very tired and he's not able to, they can ride in the wheelchair or in the electric cart or the likes like this, or someone can carry them, whatever, the likes like this. And they can make the tawaf without walking themselves, any meaning by riding, it's allowed for them. But the one who doesn't have an excuse, it's better for him to walk himself. It's safer for him. That way the people of knowledge, none of them would disagree about the correctness of his tawaf. The correctness of his tawaf. With regards to those people who have an excuse, or those who are making tawaf while riding, for example on the cart, or on a chair, the wheelchair and the likes like this. Many times the people of knowledge mentioned that the likes of these people, sometimes they'll fall asleep. Sometimes they'll be pushing them and they'll fall asleep in the middle of the tawaf because they're just being pushed. And maybe one of them will pass out in the likes like this. And the people of Nahr has mentioned that the one who falls asleep while making tawaf, his tawaf is not correct. His tawaf is not correct because any from those things that invalidate the wudu, if it's a person, he falls asleep. If a person, he falls asleep and he falls into deep sleep, this is something that invalidates the wudu, and Allah knows best. And from the conditions of the tawaf is that a person, he will be upon tahara. That a person, he'll be upon tahara. So if he's going to have somebody push him, he'll not fall asleep in the middle of that. He'll not fall asleep in the middle of that. Yani, so he has to stay awake. And likewise, other times maybe they'll be riding and they'll have children with them. Or the likes like this, they'll have children with them, holding the children, and the whole time they're just playing with the child, laughing and joking and smiling and laughing with the child as somebody's pushing them, or they're riding in a car making the tawaf. And they're completely heedless and forgetful that they're at the house of Allah. And the likes like this. So a person, he will not fall asleep, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And likewise, he will not be heedless and negligent. Rather, he, while making tawaf, a person, he will be alert. He will remember Allah. He will remember Allah. So also in the from the sunnah of making tawaf is the person, he will remember Allah. There's no specific dua. There's no specific dua to make any in general when making the tawaf. Rather, a person, he'll make dua whatever he likes, whatever he will call on Allah for, whatever he likes, or he will recite the Quran if he likes. This is all allowed, but to remember Allah, except whenever he gets to the Yemeni corner, from the Yemeni corner until the black stone. Now there's a specific dua that has been authenticated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from that, from the Yemeni corner to the black stone, a person, he will repeat over and over, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابِ النَّارِ. He will over and over and over this specific dua. This specific dua, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, will be repeated over and over as soon as he comes to the Yemeni corner until he gets to the black stone. After that, whenever he gets to the black stone, he will face it and he will point to it and say, Allahu Akbar, and then he will continue on his way, making dua and supplicating and the likes like this, and he will do it to himself. He will call on Allah by himself. And the people of knowledge, they mention likewise that here, he should learn supplications. And this is the way of a believer in general. And even before making Hajj or making Umrah, he should learn supplications. He should have a number of supplications, a number of dua from the Quran and from the Sunnah that he memorizes and that he recites and reads daily, that he calls on Allah with whenever he's in sujood, between the adhan and the iqamah, whenever he's riding in his car, in the morning, in the evening, in the nighttime. Supplications that he memorized from the Quran and from the Sunnah that are good and authentic, and that he will recite them, that he will say them. A believer, he will have an arsenal of them, literally. He should, every believer, have a number of supplications memorized from the Quran and from the Sunnah that he mentions daily, but especially in making these rites. So what we see today is some people, they come with a book. They come with a book and they're walking around making the tawaf, for example, and they're just reading from the book. So even sometimes, maybe the book is good, possibly. Sometimes those books are not good. Some of those books, they have shirk in them. Some of those books, they have bid'ah in them. Some of those books, they have falsehood in them. Some of them are good though. And no doubt, there are some books that are collected that have authentic supplications. But even then, the one who's reading from the book, where's his heart? Many times his heart is not there. It's not the same. He's not able to call his heart and fill it with hope and trust and reliance when he's reading from a book. Many times a supplication, rather the supplication, it comes from the heart. So from the means to benefit from that is to memorize it and to say it from the heart. to memorize it and to say it from the heart and not reading it from the book. Although if he did, it's allowed. And Allah knows best.
So this is the case for some people. They will carry a small book with them, and whenever they make tawaf, they read from the book. Or whenever they get on Safa, there's a supplication specifically. Whenever rising on Safa, one will face the Kaaba and raise his hands and supplicate a dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to mention, and then also general supplication. So many people, they'll get there into that place where it's legislated to make dua, and then they open their book and they read it, and then they'll move on. And they don't know what they read. They just, like it's mechanical. It's like it's mechanical. They go up there, oh, you're supposed to read this here, you read this here. Like the blessing is not just simply reading this, but rather the blessing is reading something, understanding it, and moving the heart with it. So a person, any of the point is, that in preparation before going to make those rites, a person, he should memorize as much as he can, if not all of those rites. Memorize the supplications, memorize other supplications that he wants to make and the likes like this, and then also along with that he can call on Allah in his own language or with his own supplication in the Arabic language. But the best supplications are that is that which is found in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And you will find everything that you desire. If you look in this supplication, they'll be included in that. Like the one between the two. While making the tawaf, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That includes all of your desires and hopes. Everything you want is included in that. Everything that you wanted is included in that. But although it's allowed, for example, to, if somebody wants to get married, say, oh Allah, provide me. اللهم ارزقني زوجة صالحة. Like this is allowed for him to say the likes of this. But the point is to learn these supplications that are specific for the rites, and also to learn other supplications that should be said throughout these rites. And to not be from those people that's walking around reading a book with a heart that is empty and his mind that is gone. Or even worse than that was what many of the innovators do, and the ignorant people do. They'll have one of them reading the book and then the people behind them chanting, Allahumma, Allahumma, Rabbana atina, like this, and they're just making a loud show. Wallahi, showing off, and it's even more disgusting and likewise more lowly that they're showing off, and they're showing off the innovations that they're doing. They're showing off, but they're showing off the innovations that they're doing. They're walking around the Kaaba, one of them will say, Allahumma, and all of them chant out loud, Allahumma, in this great voice. And then they're going like this, and half of them don't even know what they're saying. And the likes like this. And the countries that are known for that are known. And then you have the worst of them, then they come from Iran. What do you other billah? Making those chants and those loud calls, and they're moving in their group and the likes like this. Do not get involved in that. Do not get involved in that. Whether you called on Allah by yourself, humbly. Yani, khufyan wa tadarru'a. You called on Allah, yani, between you and Him. Between you and Him, whenever you called on Him. So when He will make tawaf, and He will call on Allah. Likewise, when He's making sa'i as well. When he's making sa'i as well, there's no legislated in between the two. In between the two ends, there's no legislated supplication and the likes, whether one will recite the Qur'an, or will make dua, or remember Allah and make adhkar and the likes like this, but he'll be engaged in ibadah. He'll be engaged in ibadah, not talking about the worldly life, not backbiting the people, not belittling the people. No, he'll be engaged in worship. You will find people doing the likes of these affairs, even in al-Masjid al-Haram, belittling the people, mocking the people, or talking about people back home and the likes like this while they're walking, making the sa'i, or while they're making tawaf and the likes like this, or even worse, some of the people, waliyadu billah. So this is the case. We talked about sleeping in the tawaf. If a person, he fell asleep in the tawaf, this would invalidate the tawaf because it would invalidate his tahara. So the tahara is a condition for the tawaf, and Allah knows best. As for the sa'i, then it's not a condition. Tahara is not a condition for the sa'i. You can, going back from Safa and Marwa, it's easy, alhamdulillah. He doesn't have to have tahara. But even still, if a person is pushing him, he will not fall asleep. You try to be awake and alert. Inshallah, we continue tomorrow. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.